This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
And today, we're kicking off summer. I can't think of a better way to kick off summer than to welcome people to the family of God and through baptism and taking this step of obedience. And so today, we're going to talk about baptism, the why, the who, and the when. And about 8 years ago, we did a two-part series on baptism to kick off summer. And we opened it up to spontaneous baptisms, and we had 100 people spontaneously baptized in those two Sundays, and we opened it up again, starting in the first gathering. Many people who were not planning on being baptized when they stepped on campus at 8:15 step into the water, and we hope that is true of this gathering as well. So everyone over at the chapel, over in the coffee company, is there anybody outside? Did anybody notice on the way in? For crazy sitting outside, we welcome you as well. And to those in the foyer in the lobby, today's going to be a special day. It's a shorter message as we prepare for baptism. Some of you are like, yes. But I just think about what God's been doing in our country and around the world. And a church I visit quite often in Minnesota called Eagle Brook Church, this past February at their baptism service, they baptized 1,381 people in a day. On May 8th, 300 churches came together in Huntington Beach, California, and baptized 7,750 people. And last weekend, I got this story from Ty Jenkins, who grew up at our church, now lives in Jacksonville, Florida. Churches in the Jacksonville area came together in a day and baptized 1,900 people. And I think about that Henry Blackaby quote. If any of you have studied Henry Blackaby, you remember he was known for saying, "Stop trying to create waves or create movements and just find where God is working and get on board." And I make no apologies for this, but I've always been a big fan of American Idol. And Amy and I watch it. I can't get enough of that show. And I don't know if you watched it this year, but just seeing, I mean, God is truly up to something in our country. I have never seen the name of Jesus proclaimed more on a show to the point where the host doesn't even know how to respond. And here's what happens in the church. Christians can hear the name of Jesus mentioned. CeCe Winans is up there singing on stage more than one time this season. Brandon Lake shows up and sings. And Christians can do one of two things, and you get to choose which one you do. You can sit back and critique the way it's being done and criticize the way it's being done. And a lot of Christians choose that path. But I'd rather be on the path that says, let's find where God is moving and get on board. And he is up to something. And today, as we kick this off, talking about the why, the who, and the when, I heard this some time ago. Over the century, Christians have debated what baptism accomplishes, to whom it should be administered, and how much water should be used. I would add to that, and how long you should hold the person underwater. I get asked that question often, and it just depends on your life before Christ, because if we have to, we will take you to the bottom of the tub and put our foot on your chest. But I can't think of a better way for us to start our summer together than by welcoming people into the family of God. And we want to start with the why. I want to give you four reasons why you should be baptized. And we have many signed up for this service. We've had 51 people sign up for baptism today. And as we offer it to all of those who have placed faith in Jesus today but have never been baptized, we've been praying for double that number to be baptized on our campus today. But let's start with number one. The most obvious reason why is Jesus modeled it. It was how he launched his public ministry. Mark 1:9, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And much like Jesus launching his ministry, his public ministry, when you step into the water, you are announcing, you are proclaiming your new faith in Jesus, an outward expression of an inward decision. So part of this modeling and following the example set by Jesus is to answer the question, why do we immerse people underwater? And why do we not sprinkle? And I just need the Presbyterians and Methodists to chill for just a second as we explain this. Number one, we believe, and why we fully immerse a person underwater is because the Bible says in Matthew 3:16 that Jesus went into the water and he came up out of the water. So we follow the example set by Jesus, but we also believe that it represents the believer's death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. It represents the death of the old self and then being raised to new life in Christ. Key there is it represents. And many of you remember when you were baptized, you heard the words from the pastor or whoever was baptizing you, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. So we believe this is the best way to follow the example that Jesus set. So he modeled it for us, but Jesus also commanded baptism. We read in what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And every person who steps in the water today will hear those words as they are being baptized, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The first church took the modeling of Jesus, the command of Jesus, and they preached it and they practiced it. Number three, let's start with Peter preached the command of Jesus. In Acts 2:38, we read, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When a person repents of their sins and places faith alone in Christ alone, that creates in them, or it should create in them, a desire to do what Jesus commands. This is clear in Scripture. To follow Jesus is to do what he says. The first step of obedience after salvation is baptism. It's the first step that we take. It's the first sign that we give to people that we are saved. We are born again. Scripture clearly teaches that we are saved by faith alone, not by works. And baptism is a work, right? It is a step of obedience. Scripture clearly teaches this. Peter is not saying here in this text that baptism saves you, but he's saying that baptism is an outward expression, a step of obedience for the one who has believed in Jesus. So here's we want to be as clear as we can be today as we invite people to step into the water. Salvation is required for baptism, and that is the only requirement. That's it. But baptism is not required for salvation. This is key. And the example that we turn to most often is that the thief on the cross was saved and never baptized. We read, "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "today you will be with me in paradise." And this is what I love. If you want to look it up, we don't have time today to get into it, but Alistair Begg, it's still the favorite clip of a preacher I've ever watched online, the man on the middle cross. And this thief shows up to heaven and he's role-playing it, but he's like, "Hey, you've never been baptized, you've never been in a Bible study, you don't even know what this doctrine means or what this doctrine means, why are you here?" And the thief says, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." Salvation is required for baptism, but baptism is not required for salvation. The gospel has always been, always will be, by grace through faith plus nothing. And the reason this is so important to understand is that we understand, some people will say, "Well, at Pentecost, things change." Salvation and the requirements for salvation didn't change at Pentecost. It's always been before, after, faith alone, through Christ alone. And new believers took this message. So Peter preached it. The new believers among them obeyed the command of Jesus, and they were baptized. We keep reading in Acts chapter 2. Those who believed were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We'll come back to the "that day" part, but we're seeing now the who. Who is baptism for? It is for those who have placed faith in Jesus. Acts 8:12 goes on, "But when they believed, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, then they were baptized." So they believed, became believers in Christ Jesus, saved, born again, then they were baptized, both men and women. This brings about a lot of questions, and I want to address some of the main questions we get asked about baptism on a regular basis. This first one I've been asked three times in the last month. I was baptized as a child. Should I be re-baptized as an adult? Said another way, I was baptized as an infant. Should I be baptized again as an adult? And the answer, the short answer is yes. Okay, infant baptism, let's talk about that for a second. The custom of infant baptism began in the late second century into the third century. Hundreds of years after Jesus was baptized and the apostles preached about baptism. This is different from believers' baptism that the Bible talks about and that we're preaching today. It's, baptism comes after you have made a decision to follow Jesus. And what it's saying to people when you step into the water, you are pointing people to Jesus and saying, he saved me, he can save you. He redeemed my life, he can redeem your life. Our baptism, the outward expression of an inward decision, is pointing people to Jesus. We do not baptize babies at our church. We do baby dedication, which really is more parent dedication, where mom and dad get up here with a child and we commit as a church to being an additional voice in the life of that child. If you were saved, let me get this real crystal clear when I was getting really fired up on a roll there. If you were baptized as a baby, saved later in life, but have not been baptized, then this is for you today. For you to step into the water and make a public proclamation of your faith. That leads to this question as people ask the question. My parents baptized me as a baby. Do I need to be rebaptized? Have you been saved? Yes, I've been saved. Then yes, you need to be baptized. Then this question, what if my parents disapprove? What if my parents disapprove? And I just want to say this because I hear this question most from young adults. Heard it last week from a teen. And I just want to encourage the young adults in this room because we know this in our nation right now. God is moving among young people. He's moving among young adults. And I just want to say to that person questioning whether or not you should make a public proclamation through baptism, whether or not you should do that, I just want to encourage you. You are the primary influence and evangelist in your family right now. You are the one, when you step into the water, you are pointing your parents to Jesus. Jesus gives this very clear teaching, some of his strongest teaching that we have in the Bible. He says this, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You don't hear that at Christmas a bunch, do you? And then he goes in to explain it. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Jesus here is not teaching to go against the commandment to dishonor your father and mother. He's not teaching that. What he is teaching is that when you choose to follow me, following me means I demand undivided allegiance. Your relationship with me is the priority over your relationship with your parents. Do you dishonor your parents? No. Will this cause feelings in your parents? Yes. Will it be something they need to deal with? Yes. Is that your responsibility? No. Your responsibility is in following Christ and in following Jesus. And again, you just might be the only evangelist right now in the lives of your parents. He goes on to say, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So today, if you're asking that question, what if my parents disapprove of my baptism? I want you to turn it around and start saying, I want to be baptized to point my parents to Jesus. Another question we get asked, do I need to be baptized in this church to be a member of this church? No. You need to be baptized if you are born again, saved, and never been baptized. That's the key. We don't have baptism to become a member. So when you switch from church to church, no, you do not. While baptism is an ordinance of the local church to be carried out in the local church, it does not identify you with a specific church. It identifies you as a believer in Christ Jesus, clearly. So that is the why, that is the who, and now we get to the when. Should I wait until I'm ready? If you place faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, you are ready. You're ready right now. You're like, are you sure? Well, the Bible says this. Those who believe took a membership class, wrote out their testimony, met with an elder, scheduled their baptism, invited family and friends, and a photographer. We'll have 18 of them on the stage here in just a second. Then they were baptized. The Bible doesn't say that. It says those who believed. You are ready. This is so important for you to get. Just like salvation is the only requirement for baptism, and baptism does not save you, the only biblical condition for baptism is belief, not spiritual maturity. You're like, I got to figure some things out. I need to get all the doctrines down. No, do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Have you confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead? Because the Bible says in that case, you are saved. Not counting on your works, for by grace you've been saved through faith, faith alone, that it's not of works so that no one can boast about it. If you have placed faith in Jesus, I'm here to tell you today, you are ready to be baptized. Going back to Acts 2:41, those who believed were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number, not next week, not on the next schedule, but that day. And some of you walked on campus today at 10, planning to just sit through a service, worship, hear teaching, drink lemonade, and head home. And God has other plans for your life today. And I just want to encourage you with that day, and it's this day, reminding you when you get baptized, you're pointing to Jesus and saying, he died for me and he died for you. He saved me, he can save you. He changed my life, he can change your life. I am part of God's family, and you are invited to be part of his family too. So today, this day, I invite all on this campus, all who have believed but have not been baptized, to join me up here at the baptismal pool. You see people making their way right now. The logistics of this are the scheduled ones, as you can tell, they're already dressed. You're like, Ted, I did not bring clothes. We've got them for you. We have shorts, we have shirts, we have towels. You will leave as dry, however you got in here today, with or without umbrella, but you will leave the same way in which you came. And so here's the logistics of it. If you want to be baptized today and make a public proclamation of your faith and point people to Jesus and say, I have followed Jesus and I want the whole church, I want the world to know. If you're over at the chapel or the coffee company or any of our other venues, you just come toward the castle and head out toward the breezeway over here, and Andy Watson's going to meet you. And we're not in a rush. We're not in a rush. We're only halfway through the service. And we may need more than the time we have allotted to do this, because this is obviously our largest gathering so far today. But you gather, take your time. They're going to ask you some questions while you walk. They're a safe and comfortable place inside to change. And you can leave your clothes there and change back into them. And we're going to invite you to step into the water. We ask those on campus today who are saved and have been baptized. You've repented of your sins. You've placed faith in Jesus. You're a believer. You have been baptized. We know what that means for us. This is a special day for our church and always is. And when they come up out of the water, this is our time to celebrate each and every one of them. We're asking our church family to join in celebrating each baptism today. And buckle up, there'll probably be 30 to 40 plus in this gathering. But we invite you to be baptized. There were people that left at 8:15 and they only got halfway to their car and turned around. They're now part of this gathering's baptism. And as the Lord works in your life and some of you are white-knuckling that seat in front of you, step out as I invite all of us to stand as we worship together today.
was sick and he healed me. I was dead and he raised me up again. I was desperate, and he saved me from my sin. Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Isn't he faithful? Look at my life, look what he's done. Isn't he able? Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Isn't he worthy? Oh, he's worthy.
Praise the Lord, I've been born again.
watch the world. But it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough. And you came along.
Still call me friend.
thank the Savior.
Baptisms today. 28, that's amazing. What a special day today. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Have a great week this week. We'll see you next week.